May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So today we're talking Thanksgiving, a national holiday derived from the feasts of voyagers, according to Wikipedia, who settled in Canada after surviving the icy passage of the North Atlantic crossing, first in 1579, and then accompanied by the influences of Americans who fled the independence movement down there and came up here bringing pumpkin pie and turkeys with them, which we're all very grateful for today, I'm sure. The general announcement that there would be a day of Thanksgiving didn't come until 1957, it turns out. So basically, it took Canada a really, really, really long time to decide to dedicate one day a year to being thankful. Although for the football, the turkey and the pumpkin pie, I mean, thanks be to God for all those things. So it took us a little while to get there. So hopefully this sermon will not take as long as that, because I'm sure you've all got dinners to cook. Okay. So the abundance continues into our readings today. We have the Israelites making offerings after escaping Egypt in Deuteronomy. We find ourselves with Paul, where Paul is telling us, rejoice always. We are seeking Jesus, the bread of life, on the other side of a lake is where they eventually find him, where we get the spiel from John about bread and always having enough to eat when we are with Jesus. Now, what does any of this, I wonder, have to do with a small town in Powell River, especially when we're so ingrained in our own cultural traditions today? Well, like the Hebrews after coming out of Egypt, wandering for 40 years and finally getting to the promised land where they were able to give thanks and finally show some gratitude after all that grumbling, we find ourselves also coming out of a period of exile with COVID pretty much behind us for the most part, certainly the severity of restrictions in any case. The church as a whole, including ourselves, was forced to gather on Zoom. It was a bit of a new age. We had to embrace all kinds of things. Computers on the altar, huge schism. And we made it through. So we have, as Paul says, a lot of things to rejoice about and plenty certainly to be thankful for. Many people began planting gardens and learning new skills. Many people started focusing on their homes in new ways as homes became offices. But for others, it became a time of increased isolation and sadness, and they began experiencing a new exile experience. Yet the writer of Deuteronomy says, remember the Lord your God. Remember God first and offer the first and the best of what you have to him and be grateful for where you are at. So even as we come to this place of interim time where we are discerning as a community who we are going to be. I was reading the old profile that I believe Reverend Fawn would have responded to this week, and I saw the things that were happening then, and I thought, gosh, COVID really did put the kibosh on so many different things that this church was active in doing. So now we have this wonderful time, again, gifted to us, which is not so much a time of exile or wilderness, but a time of discernment and prayer, asking God, making our supplications to God for what we want for this community, and being able to take the time to actually think about when we pray for the growth of this baptismal community, what do we want that to look like, and how are we going to do it? Because as we learned in our guided Eucharist, for those of you who could be here a couple of weeks back now, we stand at the gospel because the gospel calls us to action. So our questions to ourselves, and this sermon certainly contains more questions than answers, I'm afraid, today. Our questions to ourselves are, how are we going to act in response? How are we going to show our gratitude as we move into this next chapter as the church in Powell River? Rejoice always, let your requests be known to God. Sounds pretty easy. Paul's words are full of the sure and certain hope of the resurrection, and they call us into this action. So what do we want from God as a community? When we get together and we're praying together, or when you're chatting over coffee hour, what are the things that are coming up? What do we want to be for this community? What is pure and right and true and honorable post-COVID? Where is justice needed right now in our communities? We've got an election coming up. Who are we voting for? Are we voting just because we've seen more of their plaques or because we met them once? Or are we voting because people are moving towards the things that are true and just and honorable? And how are we going to use the power of that vote? We have to think about these things. One of the questions I've been asking myself this week is, where do we see God at work in the history of this community? So I've been trying to get to know St. David's and St. Paul's a little bit. And on the visits that I've done to some of your homes, I found it really helpful to hear about your journeys here. Where do we see God at work right now? Do all of us have something that we're able to do for the church? Where do we see God? Like, if we really sit and think about it, where is God active in the work that we are doing at this present in our community? Where have you seen God at work in your own life, in your own individual lives, in the lives of your families? Where has God made space for us to do his work, and how is he feeding us to do that? These are things that I've been kind of dwelling on. Now, when we think of Paul's words, rejoice, are we naming what we're rejoicing for? We sit here today in this beautiful sanctuary, which has been so wonderfully decorated for the Great Thanksgiving Festival. What are we sure that God has done for us? Now, are we living grateful lives? These are all the questions. None of these are finger-wagging questions. These are all questions for a community in discernment as we move forward, okay? So Paul says that we're to be known as a community of gentleness. How are we known in Powell River at the moment? It sounds to me, being out in the community, like the church has a pretty positive association. A lot of people know that we're here. They know about Sycamore Commons. They know about things that have happened in the past. So that's a really good thing. That's a huge thing to be able to build on as we think about who we want to be. When things go right for us, do we bless God and give thanks? And when things go wrong for us, do we give thanks that God is with us during those times? What are we as a community perhaps taking for granted? What are you grateful for when you think about your church? Because this is your church. Do people in the community have a reason to be thankful that we are here? So many questions, I know. I told you this was not going to be one full of answers. Okay. So then comes the action bit. This is the bit where Jesus says, stand up for the gospel, let's get up and go. We figure out our path during this period, knowing that we will never go hungry, because Jesus, being the bread that we return to week after week, will always feed us and set us up to go. Again, thinking back to that guided Eucharist that we did, we said that the bread and the sacrament that we join in here together is what sends us out and feeds us for the rest of the week. So this Thanksgiving, an important cultural holiday for Canada, is a marker where the whole country gets together and gives thanks. Now, some people have different traditions. I've been in various homes where they ask you to go around the table and say something that you're thankful for, which is a beautiful thing to do, and children hate that. So if you have children at dinner, make sure you do it. It's like a really great opportunity to get even with them for all of their hell raising. But every time we celebrate the Eucharist, as we do here every Sunday, we participate in the Great Thanksgiving. When we say the words, it is right to give our thanks and praise, it is in part because the word Eucharist means great thanksgiving. Jesus is the subject of this great thanksgiving, the bread that comes down from heaven like manna in the wilderness. And it is that that we return to give us strength to go out into the world and do the work that God has given for us as a community and as individuals. And if we look at Luke's gospel, which we're kind of coming to the end of, because I hate to say it, Advent is like 5 or 6 weeks away. 5 or 6 weeks away, that's terrifying. We are coming to the end of Luke. So looking back on Luke, Luke's gospel is full of people doing the whole get up and go thing. So it's a very inspiring one for us to come to the end of this year on and go into this period of interim, thinking about how we're going to get up and go with God. So if we think about it, we have Mary getting up and going immediately, taking action to go and see Elizabeth when she learns that she too has been given a miracle child, John the Baptist. The shepherds get up and rush into Bethlehem, abandoning their flocks when the angels announce to them that God has come among them as the light of the world, to the baby Jesus in the manger. And then although it goes through. The lepers return to God, return to Jesus. Well, one of them does after a gratitude in healing, returns to Jesus and says thank you, recognizing him as God even before he's been to the cross. And then we see on the road to Emmaus, the disciples get up and rush back to Jerusalem when they meet the risen Christ in the bread of the Eucharist after dinner. So lots of action in this gospel and lots of action for us to look forward to as a community. So the question is, this Thanksgiving, and here's a subject for the dinner table, again, that the kids will love. How are we going to get up and go now that our time of COVID exile is over and we're able to once again offer the best and first fruits of what we have as a community to our community here in Powell River? Who are the people who are out on the fringes, who maybe aren't getting an invite to a Thanksgiving dinner today? Who are those who are still struggling in a wilderness or in an exile of their own, people who are socially isolated or homeless or suffering with addiction? Even people who have simply become estranged from God, either because of the time out of church or because they just wandered away and never came back. And how are we going to invite them? When each of us knows what God has done in our lives, and perhaps today of all days is celebrating that and naming those things, how are we going to respond as we move into our next chapter together? Now, I say at the end of each service, as part of the blessing which comes from Dean Peter Elliott at the cathedral, life is short and we do not have much time to gladden the hearts of those who journey the way with us. So let's not take as long as the Canadian history books to act on the idea of Thanksgiving and responding to God. Let's figure out a little get up and go as we start to put together our profile. Happy Thanksgiving to you all.